Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of the Transcript Podcast. You've got me, Scott Krisiloff. I'm editor of the Transcript, along with Eric Wakai, who's our lead author. We sent out a new issue of the newsletter yesterday, and what we were seeing in a big week of earnings, we saw some softening trends, I think, in the macroeconomy. Consumer spending starting to deteriorate a little bit. We saw people talking about the freight recession again, which has been ongoing for a while. And we saw some indications that even credit card delinquencies were starting to rise from Capital One. Just all of the things put together look like the economy continues to slow a little bit. So we titled the newsletter Weakening Trends this week. Eric, any thoughts?
I agree. I think the sense of the data that you have, at least from the earnings transcripts, is mostly on to do with softening trends. They're not like crashing, but they're slowly, like you can feel like from the time we've been reading the Q4 earnings calls to now we're reading the Q1 earnings calls, it's been like a slow and steady going down. So not a rapid fall off the cliff, I would say, given the events, let's say, of the banking crisis in March, but a steady decline. That's what you're seeing. Inflation is declining, and lower inflation, of course, means a bit of lower top line growth for some of the companies that you're following, especially the fintechs and the financials. But outside that, I think the key thing last week was mostly the big takeaways from big tech. But before we go to that, we should discuss a bit of the banking crisis that we are again pulled back into with the recent developments in First Republic. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think before we went into earnings season, you and I talked about First Republic being the earnings call of the entire season, the one to watch, and it did not disappoint. First Republic reported its earnings from the first quarter, and what, 5 days later, it's no longer a walking organization, a going concern on its own. I think one of the things that was really noteworthy to me about the First Republic stuff was that they didn't take any Q&A on their earnings call. Yeah, and I feel like that felt like they had something to hide because of that. But I wonder if they had been a little bit more transparent with the dynamics that was going on, if they could have avoided this second phase of the bank run for themselves. Because underlying, they lost most of their deposits in the March timeframe. And then actually they were talking about how deposit outflows had more or less stabilized for them. So they were a little bit more stable until they weren't stable anymore. And this goes back to what has happened in this entire banking crisis and going back to the financial crisis. The regulators just act really quickly and forcefully. If it looks like a bank is going to fail, they will make sure that it does fail. Basically, they will make sure that it closes shop before anything contagious can happen. But I don't know. What are your thoughts, Eric?
To add to that is mostly like the takeaway from the earnings calls was simply they say that deposits were stabilizing. They had a lot of deposit outflows in March. But from beginning of April to the, you know, like to the date when they reported earnings, that it was only like a 2% decline, which was very small. So their takeaway from the earnings call, they kept saying the word stabilizing. But then the whole week, and mostly because they didn't take the Q&A section so that people can allay their fears, all the talk was about this bank is going to fail. And then eventually it fails. So now JP Morgan has taken over the bank. So it looks like quite tough times ahead for the smaller banks. And if any of these small banks does fall into a tough time, they definitely will be taken over by the big banks, which is a bit of a sad situation to be in. Because I've enjoyed First Republic's earnings calls for the longest time possible. I've enjoyed SVB also, yeah. But now they're both gone and they served a very important part of the economy. Do you see like the customers will miss them now?
I think definitely the customers will miss them. Yeah, I think that's the true impact of these two banking failures has not totally been felt yet fully. And unfortunately, as a Californian, like I feel like California and the startup economy are two of the areas where credit will actually end up tightening most severely. High-end real estate mortgages in California, First Republic probably had a pretty large share of that. And then SVB, their client base, obviously in the startup ecosystem, they were the largest bank in town for that. And JP Morgan does not have the same underwriting standards that those two banks had with those client bases. So there will be restriction on the amount of credit availability. I think it's a net negative for California as a local geography.
And then this is Fed Week, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So last time they were having the Fed meeting, it was just before the banking crisis. And once again, just before this one, there's another banking crisis. So I don't know how the Fed is going to incorporate some of this data. So as from our transcript, of course, economic conditions seem to be weakening and credit conditions seem to be tightening. And at the same time, we have a little bit of a banking crisis all around, with the crisis a bit around First Republic has been resolved. But generally, there's a bit of worry around deposits and deposit flows in the economy and how loan growth is going to be, whether some parts of the economy are going to be starved of loans and mortgages going forward. So quite a bit of work to do in Jerome Powell's hands this week. I think that all attention is on him and the FOMC. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think what they're signaling is that they'll raise rates again, most likely. And then they may signal at this meeting that they're going to pause raising rates going forward,
Think
which
so?
that's at least there was an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning saying that the Fed would raise and then debate the pause. And I think it goes back to how much concern there is over the First Republic failure and whether or not they want to pause and see what's going on. But I think on the flip side of that, we see inflation falling. In McDonald's quarter, for instance, they talked about inflation still being high single digits this year. That's very high. That's not 2% inflation that the Fed is trying to target. So even at 5% in interest rates, which they would be at the end of this meeting, it's still not that restrictive of a monetary policy stance. The rate of change has been high, but if you really wanted to get restrictive on the economy, probably going 6 or 7 or 8% historically is where you have to get to in an environment like this. And so we're just tighter than neutral now, maybe. And so how that actually ends up impacting inflation and whether that's able to bring inflation down to the Fed's ultimate 2% target, we may not know the answer to that until midway or three quarters of the way through this year.
So more tightening this week. And again, CPG companies don't give us a bit of hope. I was looking a bit, I compiled a little bit of data for our Twitter followers, and it shows that most CPG companies are raising prices around like double digits, like low double digits, around 10% there. So it doesn't look like inflation is actually waning. And this pricing is what is driving the growth of some of CPG companies. They're reporting 12, 15% growth. And these are not companies you expect to be growing at that kind of a rate at this point in time, and the cost inflation should be a bit behind them now. I think they're just raising prices for the fun of it or to keep growing. That's my key takeaway, I think, from that. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the thought in my head was as a consumer right now, it feels like prices are painful, but not a deterrent yet.
So if we were to take you as a good sample, then CPG companies have more room, headroom to keep growing a bit of pricing.
Yeah, I think that's what they're seeing right now. That's the elasticity stuff that the CPG companies are saying. Like, we're raising prices, but consumers aren't spending a whole lot less. Their volumes are flat, their top lines are going up, high single digits. Double digits, even. For the consumer, there's certainly signs of deterioration that we've been seeing for 6, 9 months plus, but it's just not slowing down the economy fully yet. And that's why this is the best forecast recession in history.
Yeah,
And won't
definitely.
be surprising if we get a recession. But securities prices don't reflect even 5% interest rates. Like, the
That's the
10-year Treasury
challenge.
yield is still at 3. Nobody thinks that we're staying at higher interest rates for longer.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe let's talk a bit about the tech takeaways. Cloud spending is moderating. Google Cloud is profitable. They did a bit of accounting maneuvers and it's now profitable. AI investments are accelerating across board. All the tech companies that have reported so far, they are reporting an increased investments. They may be decreasing investment in other areas, but at least for AI, they're increasing it. And finally, Bing and Microsoft search wars are continuing. Microsoft wants to keep growing their share of the market. They're very focused on share and gaining market share. And of course, Google is very keen on consolidating and making sure that now Google is no longer now the is now the incumbent, and then Microsoft is now the challenger suddenly in the market. So those are like my three kind of top of the head takeaways from earnings calls. Let's start with cloud spend. Any takeaways from that?
Yeah, I think my biggest takeaway from the tech space this week was really again those economic trends, and that's what I ended up zeroing in on in the end, that tech companies are seeing the same sort of headwinds that the rest of the economy is on in terms of cloud spend and in terms of like consumer electronics demand. So Those are weak. And then to your point, everybody's talking about AI and their CapEx spend in that space. But at least right now, it feels like we're in some sort of like psychological consolidation around AI, where the big surprise has happened. We all think that something big is going to continue to happen, but there's not some catalyst right now that's changing our perception of AI again.
Is it this period then you see like maybe people are taking time maybe to digest what happened and then to take maybe a year or two to actually get some really good products that would actually shake up the market once again? Because now people are over the shock of AI is here. Now it's okay, what are we going to do with it at the end of the day? I think that's where we are at, and every company is doing that right now, right? And then
Probably.
and then the funniest bit for me in terms of takeaway was that CPG companies are growing revenues at around 10 to 15%, driven by pricing. And then tech companies are growing at 2, 3%. And then Meta just came off like 3 quarters of declining revenue growth. And now they're suddenly growing a bit at around 2%. And all. So it feels like a kick of a flip in the economy where the CPG companies are the fastest growing companies around. And then you're back to tech companies being there, like almost moderating in terms of growth and all. The new economy, so to speak. Is that a good place to close at, or do you have any thoughts to add this week?
No, I think that's a good place to close this week.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We'll have a special Twitter Spaces this Wednesday to discuss the banking crisis with some two experts. So join us there on our Twitter Space. We'll include a link in the podcast transcript. And see you next week. Keep subscribing and keep sharing our content here and on Twitter. Bye for this week.